Hi, this is the Pacifica Archives Task Force meeting. It's April 21st, 2015. This is Teresa Allen speaking. The meeting is now called to order. Janice Lane, you are the Secretary Pro Tem. Can you call roll?
Yes, I can. Serene Roberts?
I think she's asked for an excused absence, right?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay.
William Herwagen? Are you present? Jim Krofka? Jim, are you here? Pauline O'Brien, we've been informed that she has resigned, so I will remove her name at this time. Steve Pride, are you present?
Yes.
Lamont Yeke, not present. Teresa Allen?
Present.
Janice Lane Ewart, I'm here. Adriana Castane, are you here?
Present. Yes.
And Brian DeShazer?
Here.
Excuse me. And Mark Torres?
Here.
Is there anyone present that I have not called?
Did you call Frank LeFever?
I did not.
I think he's on this committee.
Okay. I will note his name and note that he's not present.
Okay.
Okay. Having called the roll, the next item is the approval of the agenda. Does everyone present have a copy of the agenda?
I have.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Are there any proposed amendments? Sorry, let me do this differently. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Well, I'm chair. Who's going to move to approve the agenda?
So moved, Steve Pride.
Okay.
Steve, thank you, Steve. Okay. Steve Pride has moved that we approve the agenda as is. Do we have any objections? All right, and hearing no objection, the proposed agenda is approved. Who just came online? Okay. We have two sets of minutes. The first one is from February 10th of 2015. Do we have any additions or corrections to the minutes of February 10 of 2015. Does anyone move that we approve the minutes?
So moved. This is Janice.
Janice moves that we approve the minutes of 2:10 of 15. Any objections? No objection. The minutes are approved. We also have minutes of 3:17 of 15. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes of 3:17 of 15? Okay, hearing none, does anyone move that we approve those minutes as they have been sent out?
Was that a motion?
No,
I'm asking if
I so moved.
Okay, that was Steve Pride. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your help. Okay, 3:17 to 15. Is there any objections to approving the minutes as proposed? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the status of election of officers, and a motion was passed at our last meeting to select our officers of this task force once the positions were filled on the task force. I have contacted the secretary of the PNB, and I asked her how can we contact the secretaries of the LSBs to see if there's anyone else that needs to be invited to be part of the task force, and her response was she didn't really give me the contact information for the secretaries, and she didn't say that she was going to contact them, but she said something to the effect that task force positions were not mandatory, so that's the response I got. And unfortunately, I dropped the thread. I didn't work any harder after that to try to contact the LSB. So the question is, we have T represented, we have K represented, we have I represented, and we're missing W and A. So just that's for your information. Adriana, can I help you with anything?
No, I want to add something.
Go ahead.
I think that the problem is for what I realize, and I mean, conversations office is waiting for answer from our IT guys. One of the problems is that automatic reminders are not going to the right people because kpstx.org doesn't have the right post there. And then the automatic reminder is not reaching people. That's why people that are supposed to be or signed for this task force doesn't receive the automatic reminder. I mean, I'm in the affiliate since a long time, and I never received anything because for whatever reason I wasn't there. And I think that that is one of the problems. One, that we need to be sure that the right names are posted in kpstx.org, then everybody will receive the communication. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, well, this is what I will do. As chair, well, as temp chair, right now I'm temp chair, I will check with Otis McClay about the reminders. And I will check about the reminders that I sent out. I mean, I sent out the minutes and the agenda, the proposed agenda, draft agenda, to everyone on the listserv, and obviously you didn't get it. So there still seems to be a problem with people, this task force, being able to send something out to the listserv that everybody should get. So I will check on that also. And there's a third thing I will do. I will attempt to check with the secretary of A and W and ask if there's anybody on those that I am unaware of, if they have been solicited to join this task force. And I encourage Steve, for you to check to see if there's anybody on K that's supposed to be on this task force that isn't. And I guess maybe talk to Lamont. I mean, I can appreciate your concern, Adriana, and I hope we can address it, but people really should kind of check KPFTX occasionally. So that it's,
well,
that the reminder should be like not the only way that people can find out.
No, I know, but that is one of the problems. We have the same problem all over what is posted there. We still have people in our LSE league that they are not members in the last, I don't know, 6 months, or some of them during a year, and they are still there. You know, on the right, in the right person, the elected person, they are there, you know.
Oh, my.
We need to try to solve that.
Okay. All right, so the issue on the table right now is selection of the status of election of officers. Do we have an objection right now with what we've got to having election of officers, or do you think that we should wait until the next month to elect officers and actually, instead of calling the item on the agenda the status of election of officers, should we say election of officers? And do we have any discussion on this issue?
This is Janice.
Go ahead, Janice.
We have just had an update about the topic status of election of officers and have gathered information from those who were at the most recent meeting. At this juncture, I would ask if there are any objections to moving forth with a discussion on next steps to electing officers.
Are you saying that you want to have elections now, or you want to just discuss it?
I'm saying that I'd like to discuss a process for election of officers.
Okay. Right. That motion is on the table or on the floor. So, who wants to make any proposal about how we shall select officers for the task force? Does anyone have a proposal?
I would propose that following your inquiry into the stations that there is uncertainty as to representation, which, if I have the minutes correctly thus far, is WDAI and KPFA. Following the...
No.
Okay.
WPFW and KPFA.
Oh, WPFW, sorry. Okay. And following that inquiry, if in fact there are no individuals indicated to serve on this task force, that
okay.
We would move forth with actual election of officers at the next meeting called, or at the next scheduled meeting, excuse me.
Okay. Can you say that motion one more time, maybe
okay.
A little bit more succinctly?
Yes, I can. I move that the election of officers for the Pacifica Radio Archives Task Force take place at a May meeting, inclusive of additional members that may come aboard to represent WPFW and WBAI.
Or just anyone other members that want to join.
Excuse me. I will amend my motion to include your language.
Okay.
Hey, William,
thank you for consideration. Hi, William. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, William.
Thank you.
William, you're with WBAI, correct?
Yeah, most of the time.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. Does anyone want to second it?
I believe that we don't need a second, but if we need it, I second it.
Okay. All right. Do we have any discussion? Okay, hearing none. The motion is that, and I'm going to paraphrase it unless you want to read it one more time, Janice.
Election of officers to take place at May 2015 meeting following the addition of any other Pacifica Radio Archive members.
Great. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Is there any objection?
I'm sorry.
Go, Adriana?
Yes. I think that maybe this is, I'm not discussing the motion, obviously, I second it. But I think that it would be a good idea once that if we realize, or you, the chairperson, realize who the members are, that you send in advance the agenda and be very clear there that we will elect authority. And then the people cannot say that they are not aware of the situation. If they decide not to come, it's a problem, but at least they will be aware that will be elections.
No idea what you said.
So, Adriana, I need to paraphrase what you stated because I'm having a little difficulty
hearing you on my speakerphone. Did you say that the minutes of tonight's meeting and the agenda of the upcoming meeting would clearly indicate that there would be election of officers at the May meeting?
If the chair is Teresa is communicating with members, she can send that agenda in advance and ask the members, inform everybody that we will conduct an election. And if people decide not to come, well, it's up to them, but nobody can say that they didn't know in advance that was an election.
Okay.
But I think that we can email to all the members of this task force. I think that that will solve the problem because, like I said, the problem is people say, oh, I didn't know. Well, we send an email, if there is, send an email to all of them stating that we will elect authorities or officers, that's it.
I will attempt to send an email to the listserv, and I will also try to send out emails to to as many secretaries of the LSBs that I can, saying that we will hold an election in May. Okay, so are we ready to vote? Hello?
Yes, should I call the roll?
I'm going to ask, do we have any objection to this motion? Hearing none, the motion is passed.
Why is this dragging out so long? Is this a big deal? The office is on a task force?
I can only say that we want to be fair, and we want to make sure that, well, I don't know if I can answer that. All I know is that the last meeting, there were some objections to electing the officers then. And I'd be ready to do it now, but we still don't know whether there's some LSBs that have not offered their people opportunities to be on the task force. So, you know what? I'm just going to do the best I can as chair pro tem.
Yeah, I would vote now, but whatever the group wants, okay.
We'll just do it the best we can. Thank you for asking that question. Okay, no objection. Okay, our archives director's report. Go ahead, Ryan DeShazer.
Okay, hi everybody, thanks for the time. So we sent out sort of an update report yesterday to give you an update on the finances and where we are with that in terms of the last national board when you, Teresa, raised the motion to postpone our directive and the budget cuts. So hopefully that gives you a better picture of where we are. Today I worked with the entire archive staff and the business manager here in the archives to start whittling away at the $101,000 we need to raise between now and the end of this year, basically $18,000 a month. And the only ways that we can really do that is either the stations share a piece of the pie, after we get some major donations in and some monies paid to us from some of the stations that can pay, it looks like we're only going to need about $50,000 to raise between in 5 months, which I think we can do. One way is that the five stations add a day to their spring fund drives and take the net average or however we work the formula, which we did the past 2 years. In August, I think. One day in April, 2 years ago, and last year it was August. And if we don't do an on-air fundraiser, then the next option is the stations pay a portion of the monies that were booked from the past 2 years of unpaid central services. Mariana and I spoke to Raul, the CFO, today, and didn't really think that that was a viable option as most of the stations aren't in a position to pick up extra funds. So we're hoping that when Margie returns from her Vacation and or John Prophet comes on as executive director, that those options will be put on the table for the general managers to consider. One of the other ways is the national office does a direct mail appeal, and I think the next one coming up is in May, 6 months after the last one that went out. So we're looking to either share that direct mail piece with national office or to have it dedicated to us to raise the money that we need to bridge our gap. So that's it for finances for the moment. I'll break if anybody has any questions before we go on to projects and revenue streams that we're trying to build and develop.
Yeah, William Hairwagon.
Go ahead, William.
Brian, said you need $101,000. Is that after you've raised some money somehow with your, you know, sales and whatever else money comes in?
No, that's in it. So we're actually in that $101,000. We've identified about $5,000 that would be dedicated to premiums used by stations and sales. We have some major donors. We had a major donor gave us a $5,000 check yesterday. I just called another person today who committed to another $5,000, and another major donor who committed to about $9,000. So I just have to respond to that major donor. I had called him on funding the cataloger position that we lost at the end of the March. But it is an issue to fundraise for money that doesn't support the existing budget. So it is an additional position. So basically we have to find a way to do both or just our internal budget alone.
Okay, so can I follow up?
Go ahead.
So net of the 101 is maybe 70 or 80 that you need?
Yeah.
So if the stations that owe money for the last 2 years were to pay, I don't know, a quarter or a third of what they owe, would that do it? Was it
actually, we did some math and we broke it down to if three of the stations, meaning WBAI, WPFW, and KPFK, if they added $3,200 to their monthly essential services fee, we would be able to make it. But that's where those three stations are the three stations that can't really afford the extra $3,000. So we had to go backwards to either a shared day for all five stations or a fundraiser day dedicated to the archives somehow.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Brian, let me ask this again. Let me see if I clarify. You're saying that I, W, and K are paying you now, but they need to make up monies that they have not paid you from the previous 2 years?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the breakdown, the overall cumulatively of all five stations, it comes to over $230,000. So all we need is, about 14,000 times 3. It was $46,000 we were looking at a balance. So if we broke that down and divided it up, that's how we came to the $3,200. But like I said, it kind of is negated because the stations can't afford to add that.
Okay. Adriana?
Yes, I have, three questions. Brian, I'm very sorry, but I'm really worried. As a director, one of my obligations is to be sure that the employees of this foundation are being treated the right way. I heard in our last CND meeting that the PRI people or employees were treated as trash. I want you please tell me if that's the way that the employees of PRI, of the foundation, new people from PRI, that's the way that you feel, because this is a very serious accusation. This is first. second of all, the CFO told us in the last finance committee and in the last PNB meeting that is not that almost all the stations are up to date with their payments to PRI, and according to the last numbers, the maximum. I mean, what is missing is what PRI is not. The archivers are not collecting in their own fundraise. That's second. And I'm sorry. If you want, you can answer those two, and then I will follow up.
All right. So number one is the trash talk that I heard about. So I've never used the word trash, just so you know that did not come from me. What I was trying to explain is that the Pacifica Archives staff employees, excluding me as manager and Mariana as manager, have not been giving cost of living raises of so much as a 1% for the past 5 years, while their coworkers downstairs at KPFK have been giving those 3% cost of living wages each and every of those years that the archive staff hasn't. The archive staff also does not get 5 holidays per year that the staff co-workers of KPFK get downstairs. So I didn't say they were treated like trash. I said there's a disparity between what the employees at KPFK get and what the employees at the archives get. And additionally, the archive staff often does the same work that the radio station staff does, producing from the vault radio for radio stations, distributing radio for the radio network, fundraising on the air, producing fundraising. So I recognize the disparity of a union employee downstairs and a non-union employee in this unit, which is a service to the stations. So that's the trash talk answer. Would anybody like to respond to that first?
Teresa, I have a question. You mean that KPFK, how many holidays do KPFK employees get, paid holidays?
I don't know. I don't have a copy of the union contract, but evidently now that Mariana Berkovich is working in the KPFK finance department and is reviewing the mistakes that have been made with their payroll and their pensions and their seniority payments, we're seeing the disparity in the employees. KPFK union employees get $100 a month seniority payment. The Pacifica Radio Archive staff, even though they've been here for 20 years, 40 years, 12 years, 12 years, none of them get any of that consideration. So there's definitely a disparity.
Okay. Adriana? Anybody else questions?
Adriana?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. That's why I was worried, because I heard that you were treated like trash. What you are trying to tell us is, what I understood, is that you see the disparities, and I think that this is the same situation to all the network. Did you talk this issue with the executive director and the CFO? Because my questioning, where I'm going is, was the finance committee, national finance committee motion that asked the Pacifica Radio Archive to explore ways to, because the fundraise was short, no, because of the station we are owing money, to reduce, you know, the expenses. I think that I remember that motion is not any mention of firing anybody or getting rid of anybody. I think that we at the National Finance Committee asked the Pacific Radio Archive to explore if it's any option, like, you know, most of the stations, KPFC is an example, we are at our bare bones. And that was the only question. I don't think that, and let me on the other side said that really what you do, what the Pacifical Radio Archive does, is really, it's not an amount of money that we can say that will pay for what you, all of you are doing. That is my feeling. It's invaluable. That's what I'm trying to explain. But the reality is that the foundation is a really hard situation, we all know. And, you know, sometimes some commentaries are inflammatory because when people say, how could it be that our employees are being treated like trash? That is a really, really terrible or inflammatory thing to say. That's why I want that declaration with you, because, you know, like a director, I cannot stand the idea that somebody is treating anybody, not only you, anybody, that way. That was, now you explained to us that the situation was that only the disparity with union or not union employees. Thank you. That's all.
Okay, so the second part of your question about the shortfall from the Archives Fund Drive Day, part of the shortfall had to do with the stations and how it ran. I think that WBAI had a technical problem, and we found out just a month ago that they didn't actually air the November Fund Drive. So that contributed to the shortfall. Another reason why it contributed to the shortfall is that the stations had to extend their winter drives, which gave the archives only 2 days to promote that there was going to be an Archives Fund Drive Day. So there are many factors that contributed to the shortfall. But nonetheless, what I've asked Mariana Berkovich, the business manager who's been with the finance office, either in the centralized office or with the archives for over 45 years. In Pacifica Foundation, there are three units that are service units to the organization. One is the national office that does the accounting. Number two is national programming / affiliates, which provides services to the network and stations. And three is the archives. We were never meant to be a profit unit. We were never set up that way. If we were set up to be a profit unit, nobody would ever have set our premiums at $3 per cassette or CD. That's a losing game. So I really do look to national office and the foundation to help us bridge those gaps that we can't do. We're an archive staff, not a fundraising staff. It's like asking the accountants at national office to do an on-air fundraiser for themselves. So we're at a point where the organization has to have a very focused attention to what the archives is, how much it costs, and what we are in right now, which is a federal contract to do the preservation work of an archive for the organization. And it is very expensive. I'm sorry that it's expensive to digitize and preserve reel-to-reel tape in this day and age, but it's not the same as it was in 1980. When the archives budget was established. So this budget that we have is actually not enough to support the work that we do. That's why I was told for years and years to go get grants. So we got the only kind of grants we could get based on what kind of staff we had in the archives. So now that I've been pitching and proposing a professional archivist for the archive staff for 12 years, this National Archives grant finally motivated the organization through a contract to actually hire a professional archivist in their own archives. That's a good thing. That's an accomplishment. That's not something to accuse me of doing by building our staff. It's a necessary evil. I won't even call it an evil.
Not an evil.
It's a necessary position. It's a necessary profession that this organization should want to fund, and not bicker and batter over these rather meager amounts. $101,000 is not that big of an amount in the grand scheme of things when you look at the resources this network has to leverage to make this thing work. So in terms of the shortfall, we're working our darndest to bridge the gaps with major donorship, developing new projects, which we've emailed you on our campus campaign, to educators, which we shared a letter and product with you, and in the Ms. in the Classroom. So, but those things are going to take a little bit of time to develop and start seeing a revenue stream. But remember, the campus campaign is based on an expansion of the program that Lamont Yeke, who should be on this call, Lamont, started and does have a real number. We make $3,000 a year off of two classes. So expanding that $3,000 to 100 classes can get us the money to help bridge that gap and help diminish the on-air fundraisers that we are doing even in November. We would love to not have to do any fundraisers from the archives.
Yeah, this is Jim Boyd on the stream now.
Hi, welcome. Welcome, Jim. Did you have a question for Brian DeShazer, who's giving his report?
No, I've just been on for about the last 5 minutes, so I'm kind of just here.
Okay, well, welcome. Does anybody else have any questions right now, or can Brian continue with his report? Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Well, thanks for hearing me out. The finances are definitely the thing that gets everybody itchy when there's not enough money around. But all I can say is that the entire staff is doing all they can manage to do to make the grant project work, provide services to the stations with premiums, and do our regular services to our listeners and wider audiences. In addition, this quarter, like we're finishing this quarter of, let me back that up. The end of March is the end of a quarter for our National Archives grant. So we're working on the report that is due next week, both a financial report, a narrative report, to make sure that the Pacifica Foundation is staying on track with the grant timeline and the finances. So far, so good for this quarter. We've been invited to write an article for the National Radio Preservation Task Force blog, which reaches the archives world and radio world. I've been invited to write an article for Ms. Magazine and Ms. Blog, which is very daunting to me, but go ahead. If I'm not an author of articles for Ms. Magazine, I am now. We've been invited, accepted to two conferences. One is a women's conference at Bryn Mawr College, and then the other is the Association of Recorded Sound Collectors and the Society of American Archivists. So that serves our performance objectives of promoting the Women's Project to professional societies. So we're doing our work and promoted and publicized the Women's Grant, particularly for Women's History Month, with gangbusters. We had 28 one-minute public service announcements that went out to the network, and we've seen probably 26 stations that broadcast them, which is a feather in our cap for the National Archives report and for the grant officers.
Pardon me, Teresa here. Are five sister stations playing them and our associate station?
The KPFT did air them, and I think they did like 12 of the 28 for the 20 days or something. I'm getting statistics back from everybody. The only ones that I have not heard back from yet, but I know that they air them. I just don't have the statistics. WPFW aired them. I don't know about WBAI. KPFK, I know they aired them, but we're still waiting for the stats. KPFA only aired them on March 8th, International Women's Day, which was a special broadcast for them, but they didn't air them the rest of the month.
I'm sorry, Brian, this is Janice. For the minute, could you say the name of those associations one more time?
The names of the what?
Associations that you just noted.
Oh, the Association of Recorded Sound Collectors, or ARSC, ARSC.
Okay.
Bryn Mawr College.
Yeah, got that.
And Society of American Archivists, SAA.
Thank you.
And then the articles are from Ms. Magazine and Ms. Blog.
I got that. Thank you.
And the Radio Preservation Task Force blog.
Got that.
Great. I think that that's it for my report, other than, you know, it really is a matter of working, you know, the whole staff working together. We're having weekly staff meetings, working groups on finalizing the details of the education packages we're sending to academia, as well as working closely with the Scholars Circle at Ms. Magazine and Ms. in the Classroom to make sure that the materials that we've proposed to them are the right ones for their Ms. readers. Again, that would be licensing our audio for a reader that would be distributed to over 900 schools nationwide with an average of 18 students in each class, which would be over, it's 900 times 18. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's what that is.
Brian, can you send me a copy of this report?
Yes, I think most, yes, I will.
Thank you. Brian, let me also say, have you approached the AAUW, American Association of University Women?
No, but I'll put it on my list. AAUA?
AAUW.
AAUW.
American Association of University Women.
Okay. That's perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for. When Mark and I met with our academic consultants, historians, scholars, teachers, to help us get to the idea of this distribution idea, they mentioned those things exactly, Teresa. One of the listservs that we'll be distributing our letter and packages to is the National Association of Latino Chicano Studies Teachers. Is that right, Mark?
Mm-hmm. It's called NOCS.
It's something like that, that AAUW or NOCS,
yeah.
Something. But those are the associations that we definitely want to know about so we can distribute our material to.
Okay.
There's another thing.
A magazine or a catalog that I get, and it has like classes on DVDs. I'm wondering if that maybe is something that should be explored. I'll see if I can get the name of that for you.
Yeah, please, because you know what we could do is actually make Lamont record one of his classes about our materials and put that online as an actual class. Have to remind me to talk to Lamont about that if we can tie him down.
Yeah, hi, this is Mark. I just wanted to say that in putting together our letter to the academics, I was reviewing the programs that Lamont has been using in his four classrooms, and it's pretty impressive who's who list of programming from Howard Zinn to the Free Speech Movement, Upton Sinclair, Stonewall, Rosa Parks, Fannie Lou Hamer, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Sacco and Vanzetti, The Ballad of Pete Seeger. It just goes on and on. He really is a model for other teachers to at least catch their eye just for basic history professors. In addition to some of the specialty classes like women's history, African American history, LGBT history professors and scholars, we really do have a very impressive roster of recordings in each of these specialty fields that I think, once again, as Brian has stated earlier, can help us move away from this fundraising. I think I've said this before, but I'll repeat myself. You know, I started working here in 1990, and it wasn't until 2002 that the archives was ever involved in a fundraising effort. We've always been able to survive on our central services money based on our services to the stations and affiliates. But I think we might be able to return optimistically with a 25-year, you know, perspective on the archives by outreaching these materials into schools. It's very real, and with Lamont Yeke and Professor Morales at another university here in Southern California, you know, we actually have, you know, concrete data and evidence that this is very possible once we're discovered. And that's really what it is. We're in the discovery process right now.
Okay. Well, I look forward to the when the PNB is in Los Angeles to having you educate us a little bit more on the national level on what you've been doing. And
we look forward to it. I hope you can make sure that the coordinating committee can schedule a time for us, or an event or a tour or something that includes a presentation workshop.
Okay. I will ask about that. Okay. Anything else in your report, Brian?
No, I think that wraps it up for me. Thank you so much.
Let me add one more thing, and I know this is extraneous, but I've always hoped that someone would write an article for Toastmaster magazine about community radio and how people that want to improve their public speaking can actually use community radio, and a whole article on the Pacifica archives, because there are some phenomenal speakers in our archives, and they will pay you to do an article. I think they'll pay about $300. It isn't much, but it would be exposure.
Right. I remember that. I had forgotten. I must admit, I had forgotten about that, Teresa, since the last time we talked years ago about it. But I actually have been invited or recommended to TED Talks. To do a TED Talk.
Hooray.
Sonali Kohatkar did one, and a couple other people that are close to me have done them, and so that might work. But again, that's a promotional thing that doesn't bring money in, but it's what we should be doing.
Well, I keep loaning out my Toastmaster magazines and say, hey, read these and then write an article and you can make some money, and I haven't had anyone take me up on it yet. So if you know of anyone that wants to write about the archives as it appeals to people that are interested in public speaking, that's a thought. Okay, does anybody have any new items for new business?
No, William, with one last question for Brian.
Sure.
Yeah, Brian, did I understand? Well, Teresa, is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Brian, did I understand you to say that you're getting $3 per CD or something when the stations sell them? You said tapes, but
that's right. You know, basically, a CD is a $3 cost to the station. I mean, they pitch it at a, you know, $50, $75, $100, $150 premium rate, which means
that's
why the archives has always existed, to make sure that the materials are there to raise money for the stations.
How was that decided, that $3 is...
That was decided back in the 1980s when it was cassettes.
Okay,
it was $3 per cassette tape to the stations, $6 to affiliates, and $12 to a NPR station that's not an affiliate.
Yeah, this is.
And what would you need? What would you need or what do you think you might need, if anything, to raise those amounts, to increase those amounts?
Right. You know, we've worked with the stations are still complaining about the $3 per CD price.
Okay.
So I think we asked to raise the price maybe 2 years ago, and there was. It did not go well. There's mutiny on the Bounty.
Hi, this is Mark from the archives. And,
thank you.
And basically, the history of that price break is that we wanted to set a price. The focus was not for us to be generating the majority of the revenue from the fundraiser. We set that price as our lowest amount that we could possibly charge to cover our expenses. Based on the fact that the stations were paying central services money on time to afford us to be able to do that.
And at 3% instead of a 1.8%.
So when we were getting 3% central services money, the $3 made sense because that was basically at cost to us, including shipping and and the materials and the cost to actually make it. So now, interestingly enough, you know, recently we did a couple. We did for Martin Luther King Day. We made an arrangement where we would get a greater share to some of the stations that were in arrears on their central services money, and it became very clear how much money we could be making if, you know, we divided it up even 50-50. That's a huge difference, because for every $3 we're making, they're making, you know, over $40 at least. So, you know, on $100,000 that a station makes, you know, we're making $10,000, and that's a huge difference in revenue. So, generally, that low rate was based on the fact that stations were paying central services money at a 3% clip, and they were paying it on time. And that seems to be changing.
Right, and that there was a line in the archives budget called National Office Support, which was the line that took all the deficits and then balanced them out after the archives could make as much money as we could make. All right, that's
Deanna,
it. We're done.
William, I think that's an excellent question, and I think we need to give some thought. Certainly that is an issue that needs to be discussed with our new executive director. But I can say from personal experience, I was on the board when it was suggested, I think probably more like 6 or 7 years ago, that we raised the cost of premiums. And there was a huge flap, I think, a lot of times from people that do not understand that you can't pay your staff and you can't break even at the cost that we're charging our sister stations for the premiums.
Right.
So let's give it some thought, and, you know, if maybe we need to go to the national board and suggest that our stations be charged a little bit more for premiums. I don't know whether that's our position to do that or not, but let's give it some thought. Okay, is there any other item? Yeah, go ahead, Adriana.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I see a little problem here, because I agree that those prices. If that is a product, the price sounds a little. But I want to remind all of us that we are not buying a product. The Pacifica Foundation pays their employees. What is in the Pacifica Archives belongs to the Pacifica Foundation. I want to know how is the relationship with, for example, one of the programs from one station is being aired in the other four stations. Are they paying for that product? I don't think so. I'm not trying to be a troublemaker. What I'm trying to say is we need to be clear when we talk about what we are paying. We are paying ourselves. All of this is part of the same foundation, if I don't mistake. That is what conflicts me. I agree that sounds so little for, you know, what is important that we have really the cost of all of that, to be sure, because if I don't mistake there, neither, I mean, you have like a budget, but finally, it's the same with the healthcare system. You know, all the employees from the foundation are in the same healthcare system. And when it's some problem at some, if your inn or any other of the station cannot pay, the one that came up with the money is the whole foundation, right? I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. We are dividing this like it's a vendor. And what I'm trying to say, we are all. It's just one division. It's the same thing with the national office, like you say, or with the... I don't know if I can explain myself very clear here, but I have the feeling that we are kind of in an adversarial situation, saying, oh, they don't pay us enough. I mean, the foundation, all of this is the foundation archives, all of this is property of the foundation, and all of this are being is part of what the employees of the foundation are doing. I'm wrong? I'm mistaking something here?
I'm afraid I lost you a while ago, Adriana, so I can't respond to it. I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
Madam Chair, this is Janice. I'll also remind you that we have 22 minutes left in the meeting. So if Adriana can read 22.
Thank you.
So if Adriana is going to rephrase it, I'd ask that she make it shorter.
Adriana, maybe if you write it down, maybe this is something that needs to be made into a recommendation. But I can't tell whether you are upset that the price is too low or think that it should be higher, or it's not our. I can't tell what your point is.
Well, first of all, I'm very sorry, but I'm driving. That's why I don't have the ability to do any of that in writing. And in the second place, you know, is the way that they speak. But what I'm trying to say is we need to come up with a very clear cost of what the station is receiving as premium, because the station are paying, what is 2.5%, Brian, to the PRI?
No, they're paying less than 2% now. With this year's budget, Raul came up with some formula that gave everybody a set amount each month to pay rather than trying to calculate an actual listener support money. But Mariana said that it's actually lower than 2%.
Well, no, that's not how that was done. In order to have an amount that everybody can count on, the PRI, the national office, for example, in order to know how to make a budget and how much money you will have, what they come up with a formula that is an average of the last, 3 years or something like that. Then the Pacific Radio Archives and the National Office doesn't need to be thinking permanently how much the stations are doing, and depending on that, how much I will receive. I think that is more stable. That was the idea, okay? And still being a percentage of that average. It's not that, I don't know how can you compare with something else and say that the percentage is lesser, because I don't understand that formula.
Okay.
I know a little bit about finances, and that is not the way that works.
Perhaps with our new ED, and perhaps with the CFO talking with the ED and the Finance Committee, perhaps we can discuss this a little bit more at our next meeting. Brian, maybe you can give me the title of an item to put on the agenda, and maybe we can have some members of the Finance Committee discuss it with us a little bit more in May. Okay, does anybody have any items for new business? Okay, hearing none. Let's go to the discussion of our next meeting. This is the third Tuesday, is it not? Do we want to go with our next meeting will be the third Tuesday in May?
That's fine with me.
Can anybody look on KPFTX and see if there's anything scheduled for the third Tuesday in May? It would be May 19th. Is there any okay. Is anybody looking on KPFTX? Sorry?
If it's May 19th, I know I won't be here. I'm sure there's going to be some celebration, commemoration of Malcolm X. That's his birthday.
Okay. Does anyone have a problem with the third Tuesday in May? Other than, I guess that's William Heerwagon. Okay, our next meeting then is going to be on Tuesday, the 19th of May, and I'm assuming that we want to go with third Tuesdays. On the third Tuesday in June, would be the 16th, just looking forward. Is anybody looking at KPFTX?
I'm sorry, I'm not.
Okay. Janice, can you look at KPFTX or no?
Yeah, no, the 16th of June is William Hairwagon again.
Yes,
the 16th of June is the day after the PMB meeting.
Exactly.
Might not be available.
Exactly. That is one of the problems.
Okay, well, let's give it some thought then. Because nobody can look on KPFTX, I'm assuming there's not a better time. I mean, does somebody want to propose a different day in May? If so, we have to look at KPFTX because we will be competing with other committees.
Right.
The 19th is open on KPFTX.
Okay.
I propose that we keep the dates that you suggested, Teresa, and while the Tuesday, June 16th, will be immediately following the PNB meeting, I would ask that we still hold that date in case there are some actions that are recommended at that full board session that we could quickly dispense with in a shorter meeting. I think the necessity to continue to establish some regularity, given the number of activities and initiatives that are important to the Pacifica Radio Archives, that we try to maintain some momentum.
Okay, thank you, Janice. Okay, so we're definitely going with the 19th of May. My pardon to anyone that might have activities for MLK that day.
Malcolm X.
I'm sorry.
Malcolm X.
And then tentatively Tuesday, the 16th of June. All right,
They take June 16th.
I'm sorry?
They have a problem with that June 16th.
I don't understand. What are you saying?
I have a problem with June 16th.
Oh. I mean, you individually, or you think? Hello?
Adriana, could you ask for an excused absence for that day if the majority of the remaining members of the task force are able to meet?
That's okay. If that's what the majority wants to do, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So please, I ask everyone before we adjourn that you please give some thought based upon Brian's report. If you can think of any additional means of promoting our archive, Pacifica Archives program in any other venues or any other capacities, please give it some thought and email Brian or contact me to have something put on the agenda for our next meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Any teachers or professors?
Say that again?
So, send me any contacts for teachers, professors, department heads of studies, like anybody you know in education.
And Teresa, may I also interject that, Brian, I'd ask you to follow up with me about the content where we talked about monthly sustainers that would get a specific item based on a contribution annually.
Yeah, actually, I think we're thinking, you know, as we develop the PACs for the education world, Janice, we're thinking of taking, once we finish with that, then we'll take the best of those and then create a once-a-month CD, and then start the sustainer program. But we're have it in our forward brain.
Okay.
Brian, I have a question, if you have a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry, because I don't know how the situation is. The affiliate carry the Pacifica Radio Archive tool? Do some of the affiliates have your program?
Do the affiliate stations air our program?
Right.
Between 26 and 34 affiliate stations air from the vault on a weekly basis.
Okay. Do they have premiums too?
I'll work with Janice later on trying to figure out. The affiliates really don't use our premiums very much, just because of the demographic and the audience that those small stations have. We used to go to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters convention or conference every year to promote our premiums to the affiliate meeting. I mean, that did help each year, but we haven't gone to that conference in a year. Or we didn't go this year.
It means that for now, because that was my question was going there, which will be the price? We need to think in that too. Which will be the price of the, you know, the premiums?
Right.
Because the affiliates obviously are in a different category.
Yeah, the affiliates we treated the same as our own station, so the affiliates are charged $3 per CD as well.
Yeah, I can speak to that, Brian, really quickly,
please.
And note that my work with FCB, as well as being a representative of an affiliate station, would not be the next source of revenue that I'd recommend for the archives because of the what I call the local aspects of the stations and the offerings that are available within their communities are often valued greater than what's available through the archives. It would require, in my opinion, a marketing effort initially to the constituents in those communities in order for the stations to consider making that that proposition that valuable to those listeners, as well as I would recommend, if you're going to go down that road, presenting it at current cost as opposed to Barney and Fred Flintstone cost.
Right. Thank you, Janice.
Okay. Let's discuss that some other time. Definitely, Janice, I would like to talk to you about the sustainer program, and I'd also like to talk to you about how our sustainer program might be similar to some of the things that alternative radio has done. But do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, Janice Lane Ewart moves that we adjourn. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone. This is pretty
everybody.
Productive. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.